Welcome to the Promises of the Constitution podcast.
Hello, this is Pamela Romney Openshaw here with Promises of the Constitution today to talk to you about the concept of why didn't the Founding Fathers eliminate slavery in the Constitution? So let's begin by stating that slavery is bad under any circumstance. It is always wrong to take away the freedom of any group of individuals, whether they be people, whether they be a group, whether they be a culture. Under any circumstances, slavery is bad. But also, we need to recognize that slavery had been universal through the history of the world. In fact, in ancient civilizations, all of those civilizations basically operated on a basis of slavery. When they would go to war, when two countries would go to war with each other, the country that lost was very often carried into slavery. When individuals would go into debt and were unable to pay their debts, the individual and often their family members were sold into slavery. The class privilege that took poor people and pitted them against rich people throughout history often left many in a position where they were taken into slavery, because in these cultures, work was done by the slaves. And so slaves fit into all races of people. It was not a racial thing at all in any way, shape, or form through most of our history. Blacks were slaves, whites were slaves, people with brown skin were slaves, people of yellow skins, those of the Oriental races were often taken as slaves. It just was something that happened throughout the history of the world. Slavery began in America in Jamestown in 1619, when an English ship, which was posing as a Dutch ship, which had taken slaves from a captured Portuguese slave ship, brought 20-some-odd, that's what their record said, the ship record said 20-and-odd black people were brought into the colonies, into Jamestown. No one really knows who those 20-and-odd individuals were. Blacks were sometimes used as indentured servants, so that's a possibility. But it's also possible that these were waylaid slaves that were headed to either Spain or to Mexico, because both Spain and Mexico were buying black people as slaves at that period of time. So not understanding fully why we ended up taking slaves into the Americas, we realized that it became a huge thing to have slaves in the South because of tobacco and cotton. And so slavery then infiltrated itself through the entire 13 colonies, although slavery was a main issue down in the South. It's also important to know that black people also owned slaves during that period of time. It was possible for some blacks to buy their way into freedom. Some of them were able to earn extra money from their slave masters and save up to become independent. Some of them were granted that as a particular favor by a slave master. And so among blacks who lived in the South, many of them also owned slaves. In fact, there was actually a mixed blood society, those who were called mulattoes, who were a combination of the black and the white races, in the states of Georgia and South Carolina that became quite powerful, and many of their members went on to own slaves. So it was really got to be a very mixed up thing in terms of races. And many of the things that we're told today, that whites were always oppressing blacks and such as that, the lines there are not very clear, and we really need to be careful when we start drawing any rules there. It's also important to note that slaves were very often well treated by their masters. After all, sad as it is, these individuals were considered to be property. And so any landowner that was taking good care of his property would take good care of his slaves. And so they were often treated very well by their masters. There was quite a slave culture that developed in the South, and some of the slaves were actually taught to read and to write, and then, as I mentioned, to accumulate their own money. But most of the Founding Fathers really deplored slavery from most of the states. Thomas Jefferson, for instance, tried to write the freeing of slaves into the Virginia laws in 1777. But the rest of the members of the legislature at that time simply would not accept the manumission of slaves. Other founding fathers, such as George Washington, deplored slavery. George Mason, who was one of our great founding fathers, James Madison was also one of our founding fathers. They all hated the concept of slavery. And some of them in some of the other states, Benjamin Franklin being an example of, wrote his very last written piece 6 weeks before his death, which was a plea to the rest of the colonies to free the slaves and to establish a society that was not based in slavery. But they all understood that this was a cultural thing. It was a broad thing. It was huge. And it was going to require laws in order to grant manumission to the slaves. And because the states and the local areas had their own laws, this was not going to be an easy thing to do this. It was going to be a very difficult thing in order for them to be able to free slaves in the United States colonies. But you still have to ask the question, why didn't the Founding Fathers eliminate slavery in the Constitution of the United States? There are some very clear reasons why they didn't. And those reasons have to do with the fact that they couldn't. They didn't have the ability to do so. For one thing, those who came to the Constitutional Convention came as representatives of their states, and the states were very powerful. The states, in fact, were everything at the time. There was no federal government overseeing them. It was the states who had the power. It's very different from the way we see things today with the changes, the unfortunate changes that we've made to the Constitution, where we have set a large, powerful federal government and the states operating underneath. This was the opposite. The states had the power, and those who were sent to that Constitutional Convention absolutely did not have the authority to emancipate slaves within their own areas. In fact, most of the states had laws prohibiting the release of slaves, and especially those southern states had very powerful laws in many ways that simply could not have been eliminated through the Constitution of the United States. For another thing, the slaves weren't ready to be independent yet. They were, as a culture, they had been kept in a suppressed form. They hadn't been taught to take care of themselves, to go out and search for jobs. They hadn't been taught to provide for their own basic needs. They didn't know how to do those things. And so they weren't ready for that. To have written emancipation of all slaves into the Constitution of the United States would have ended up literally dumping these people on society when they had no skills that allowed them to take care of themselves. And finally, there were three states of those who came to the Constitutional Convention that said to the rest of the body, if you do anything to emancipate slaves, we are out of here. Those three states were Georgia and South Carolina, with North Carolina following along with them. And they said, if you emancipate slaves, if you try to write that into the Constitution, we will separate from you, we will form our own entity, and as one of the core principles of that entity, we will establish slavery as an undying principle. We will maintain it forever. And so when you come to an understanding of that, you realize there was no way to write the manumission of slaves into the Constitution. All we would have accomplished was creating two choices, one nation that would have granted manumission to the slaves and another that would have firmly entrenched it. So we were not going to get rid of this in the United States of America. You see, there was this overwhelming feeling among all of those delegates who came to the Constitutional Convention. They wanted to unite the 13 colonies into one indivisible unit. It was a very powerful thing for them to be able to go forward. So what the Founding Fathers did instead was to put a baby step into the Constitution. It was really a pretty known thing that slavery was eventually going to have to go. It was just that the South wasn't going to give it up yet, some of those states. And so what they put into the Constitution instead was the provision that for 20 years, a 20-year provisionary period, they would put a hold on the whole concept of slavery. But starting in 1808, which would have been 20 years after they assumed the Constitution would go into effect, there would be no more importing of slaves into the United States colonies. The founders believed that putting this beginning step into the Constitution would initiate the process that they knew had to take place. However, when 20 years had passed and the year 1808 rolled around, something profound had happened in the American colonies. And that was that Eli Whitney had invented the cotton gin. And with the help of the cotton gin, they were able to process cotton much faster in the colonies. In fact, at one point in time, 70% of the cotton being used worldwide was coming, or at least during in the Western world, was coming out of the United States colonies. And so with the cotton gin to allow them to process cotton faster, and with the demand for cotton now growing worldwide, those who were responsible for taking these baby steps to eliminate slavery in the United States simply walked away from that responsibility, and we maintained slavery and consequently ended up 80 years later having to have this horrible war that almost tore the United States in two in order to get rid of this abominable practice. There is one other thing in the Constitution, however, that involved slavery, and that was the decision for how to configure the representatives to the House of Representatives. This, of course, taking place during the Constitutional Convention. So they needed to decide, they had decided that the representation would be based on population in the states. But the question was, did they count slaves into the population, or did they not count slaves into the population? And this was a huge problem because, you see, if they counted the slaves into the population, the southern states would have undue influence because the populations in the southern states were much larger than they were in the northern states simply because of the slaves. And so the entire group was not willing to give extra benefits to the South because they had the slaves. But then if they were to take the slaves out of the equation and go simply on the white people, the non-slaves that were present in those states, that created a terrible problem as well because then the South was underrepresented. And so they had to find a way to make it as even as possible for all 13 states to approach this universally. And so what they did was they established the 3/5 rule, where 3 out of every 5 slaves were to be counted as part of the population. So every non-slave would be counted as one person. And for those who owned slaves, 3/5 of the total of slaves would be counted toward the population. This has been very badly misunderstood, especially by black people in our era today. They don't understand that the founding fathers were simply setting up something that made the equation work so they could work toward eventual emancipation of the slaves. This was never, never an attempt to demoralize the black people or to make them less important. This was something that was simply done in order to keep the southern states happy and to try and get an even balance in the House of Representatives. So what about slavery today? We know what's happened in the years since the Constitution was written. We've had the Great Civil War. We know there's been great turmoil over this. The black people are now standing up and saying we've not been treated fairly. And there are a lot of problems that are coming into the United States of America today because of the slavery issue. But I would suggest to you that in many ways we have continued the concept of slavery by introducing welfare into our system. Any individual that goes on welfare and is receiving payment from the federal government then has to do what the federal government tells them to do. And that becomes a great problem. So our great slavery factor in the United States of America today is our welfare system. And so for individuals that want to be independent, that want to be free, that want to not be slaves, and that want to have all of the rights that a functioning individual in any great culture should have, they need to get off of welfare. They need to provide for themselves. Instead of sitting there waiting for government to give to you, you go out, you earn your own way. That is available to every citizen in the United States of America today. And so if we want to get rid of welfare, that is one of the things that we really, really need to do, is eliminate the welfare system, eliminate the fiscal laws that are holding people back and preventing them from being able to go forward in our society. And of course, we have a lot of information emerging today about sex slavery that's going on around the world, and we have individuals that are actually being taken into slavery where that's concerned. So many things here, so many things that are imperiling our society and tying into this issue of slavery. So in my book, Promises of the Constitution, I talk about slavery several points during the book, but there is one of the short vignettes, the 1.5-page vignettes, vignette 9.4, that discusses specifically the issue of slavery and the representation issue in the House of Representatives and the entire concept of slavery. I would encourage you to go there and read Promises of the Constitution. You can order it on our website, promisesofthe constitution.com. Again, come back and join us next week. It's been a pleasure to visit with you. I hope you have a little clearer picture now of what has happened with slavery in the United States of America. See you again soon. Bye.
To have Pamela speak to your civic or church group, please call 801-373-0240 or email openshawenterprises@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Promises of the Constitution podcast. Be sure to go to Pam's website, promisesofthe constitution.com, to purchase her books, DVDs, and her online educational courses available to watch on any electronic device.